Luke records in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Breaking bread means they came together to partake of the Lord's Supper. The early church came together on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. Paul's rebuke to the church in Corinth reveals that the church came together to partake of the Lord's Supper. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Now, this passage implies that the church came together to eat the Lord's Supper, but it became impossible for them to do this because of the problems that they had, and Paul instructed them how to correct their problems. But they did come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. And we have come together to get today also to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper. In the lesson today, I want to talk about what we are doing when we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. Why do we partake of the Lord's Supper? First of all, we remember Jesus our Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25, Paul reminds the Corinthians of when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" You know, God does not want us to forget His Son and what He has done for us. He knew that there's the tendency for man to forget, and so He set up this memorial so that we would not forget. You know, our nation has set up memorials so that we do not forget major events and people. There's the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Memorial, the Vietnam War, a wall, the 9/11 Memorial. These are set up so that we do not forget these things and these people who accomplished great things in our nation's history. You know, Israel of old were given memorials so that they would remember what God had done for them. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, we read that the Passover and also the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to remember their deliverance from Egypt. Also, the 12 stones that were set up at Gilgal were set up to remember their crossing of the Jordan on dry land. They were to take one stone from each tribe from the Jordan River, and they set it up at their encampment after they had crossed the river on dry land, and that was a memorial of their crossing. But you know, Israel forgot. Isaiah says in Isaiah 1, verses 2 and 3, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider." They had forgotten what God had done for them, and they went eventually into captivity. You know, the Lord's Supper is provided so that we do not forget what Jesus has done for us. And it is possible for us to forget. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians, or rather Peter said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, after he mentioned that there are certain things that we must add to our faith, he then says in verse 9, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." That is possible. But the Lord's Supper is provided so that we might not forget and that it may motivate us to serve Him faithfully. But not only that, in partaking of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Every week, Christians, by eating the bread and drinking the fruit of the vine, are proclaiming to one another, as well as to the world, that Jesus died. But not only that He died, we're proclaiming why He died. We're proclaiming to the world that Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus died for our salvation, that we have redemption through His shed blood. As Paul said in Matthew 26 and verse, or rather, Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 28, as when He was instituting the Lord's Supper, He says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The cup which represents the blood of Jesus represents that blood which was shed for the remission of our sins so that we might be saved from sin. Also, we are reminded in the death of Jesus that He dedicated a new covenant. In Matthew 26, verse 28 again, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Jesus' blood dedicated a new covenant. The children of Israel were under a covenant that God made with them at Mount Horeb, dedicated by the blood of animals. Well, that covenant became old and it vanished away. We're now under a new covenant by the death of Jesus. And also, when we think of the death of Christ, we think and are reminded of the fact that we're now in His kingdom. Again, in Matthew 26, verses 28 and 29, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus said that He would not drink of the fruit of the vine from that day onward until that day that He drank it new with them in His kingdom, in His Father's kingdom. Well, in Acts 20 and verse 7 that we read earlier, the disciples in Troas came together to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper. In Acts 2 and verse 42, the early Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. What did the early church do? They communed with Jesus in eating the bread and drinking of the cup. Jesus said that would be done in His Father's kingdom. That kingdom had already come. And when the disciples had were partaking of the Lord's Supper, we're proclaiming the Lord's death, that He died for our salvation, that He dedicated a new covenant, and that we are now in the kingdom of Christ. And this also gives us an occasion to tell others about the death of Christ. You know, memorials sometimes are set up so that our children, as they're growing up, they ask, "Well, what does this memorial mean? Well, what does that mean?" That was the reason, I think, for the stones that were set up at Gilgal. They would be in time to come that the children would ask, "What do these stones mean?" And they would have an opportunity then to tell their children about the crossing of the Jordan River. Well, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, our children and others may ask, "What does this mean?" And we can explain to them about the death of Christ, that Jesus died for our sins. But not only that, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we anticipate the Lord's coming. Again, in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." Till He comes. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we know that the Lord has not come as yet. There is an awareness in our partaking of the Lord's Supper that the Lord is coming again. And as we remember our Lord, there's also the anticipation of one day that the Lord will come and take us to be with Him. We're reminded of Jesus' coming when we eat this bread and drink the cup. We know that there will be the resurrection of the dead at the coming of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 23, "But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits," that is, Christ the first was raised, "afterward those who are Christ at His coming. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." We anticipate that day when the Lord comes, when we partake of the Lord's Supper. thinking that one day our Lord will come and we'll be raised from the dead and we'll be able to go and to be with the Lord in heaven for all eternity. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18, that the Lord will come with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead will rise first, he says, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We anticipate that when we partake of the Lord's Supper. But also, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we have communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verses 16 and 17, Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread." You know, the context of this passage is important. Look back at verse 14. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." Paul is urging the Corinthians to flee from idolatry. You see, the Gentiles and their idolatry sacrificed to demons. And those who partake of their sacrifices partake of the table of demons. They who do such have fellowship with demons. Look at verses 19 through 21. Paul says, "What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons." Well, what is Paul's point? His point is that we should not partake of the table of demons by participating in their idolatrous practices, and at the same time partake of the Lord's table and have communion with Him. See, in partaking of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, we are having communion with the Lord. Look again in verse 16 and 17. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. And we all partake of that one bread." When Christians partake of the Lord's Supper, they're coming, are communing with Christ, all sharing in the blood and the body of Christ. And since we all partake of the one bread, we are then one body communing together with Christ. Look again at verse 17. The New American Standard Version says, "Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." All those who partake of the one bread are one body with every other person who partakes of the one bread. You know, Christians throughout the world partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week. We all partake of the one bread. And in all partaking of the one bread, it is evidence that we're then one bread and one body who commune with Christ together. Notice the word "for" there. He says, "For we all partake of the one bread." That introduces and explains how many become one body. It is because of the one bread. We all partake of the one bread. Through sharing of the one bread, we are one body, sharing in the body and the blood of Christ. So all Christians partake of the one bread every first day of the week. And in doing that, we are sharing in the body and blood of Christ and sharing with one another in the one body. We're involved in communion. So when we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, what are we doing? Well, we're remembering our Lord and Savior. We're remembering His death and what that means. It means that He died so that we might be saved, that we might then have the hope of eternal life. He dedicated a new covenant. And that reminds us that we're now part of His kingdom, of which He is King. We anticipate the Lord's coming, and we have communion with Christ, we who are members of one body, communing together with Christ. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper, let's remember our Lord. Let's remember what He has done for us. Let's think about the fact that He's coming to receive us unto Himself one day. And let it motivate us to then serve Him faithfully until that day.